a beautiful day. It's gonna be a beautiful night. Break out the champagne. Everybody get a glass. Let's start it off sexy. What do you say? And all the ladies say. And all the ladies say. I think I like that. And all the ladies say. Welcome to the champagne life. But trouble is a bubble in the champagne glass. Dreams and reality are one and the same. And we gon' do it like this.
Got an addiction for life in this baby. Like every day is my birthday, know what I'm getting. Can't reserve the time, that's where I'm sitting. Me and my friends in some sickness and dependence. And my attitude so chill and so crazy. And my designer suit, I make this so easy.
All right. All right, y'all. Y'all know what it is. It is another Tuesday evening, and you know what that means. From the basement to the boardroom, we about to get it in tonight. Brother Tony, are you with me?
Yes, sir. I'm here, loud and clear.
All right, man. We, you know, we just stepped our game up at SRN, man, and on B2B, man. We outside right now doing the show live. Sitting over here by West Peachtree on the deck outside at the event that we're doing. We got a live remote going on right now over at Metro Fusion Lounge. Oh, it's a lovely scene, man. So, you know, if y'all out right now, y'all listening, come on down basically on Piedmont, 554 Piedmont. Come to the SRN live remote. Come get on the radio, get your show on the air, promote yourself for free. You know, we got the Single Wives Club. They got an event going on tonight. And it's crazy, you know, and that's the thing. So that's why I tell people you got to get out, man. You got to see things that's going on because a lot of people are not familiar with the Single Wives Club.
Mm.
And the thing about it is she has a heck of a program, man, that she put together. And her marketing is unbelievable. You know, and really what it is, though, and why we came out tonight, because she has an event that she's promoting, some new shows that she's going to do. She got a clothing line that she got going on, and she wanted to promote the clothing line. So, you know, shout out to Miss Kelly, you know, for pushing that. And the Single Wives Club is just a group of women, which is a membership-based organization. And I thought that was ingenious in itself for her to charge it as a membership organization. And she have women ages 25 to 35. What I don't understand is it's single women in that age demographic that come together and do events, have lectures and meetings, and talk about the things that you need to do to secure a man.
Mm-hmm.
But I, what I'm missing is how a bunch of single women come together and talk about those things.
Good question.
Yeah, you know, you would figure you would have somebody married in there to tell you how you go by doing those type of things. But that's why I love the fact that she's able to have a huge following. You know, I mean, they buy, at any event that you go to that she has, they buy her merchandise all day, man. I mean, it's crazy, you know, how they buy her merchandise. You know, and, you know, people, you got to take notice of this. You know, you can say what you want about it and talk about single women, but look at the business of what she's doing. You know, and it's just phenomenal. So, you know, we happy to be out doing the live remote for the Single Wives Club, B2B out live. You know, so thank everyone who's listening tonight. I know we got a lot of new listeners on the show tonight, so we definitely appreciate you guys signing in, signing on, you know, calling in, and we hope that you stick with us every Tuesday at 8:30 Eastern. If you have questions, concerns, you want to make a comment, you know, to myself, Tony, the guest, you know, some of the things we're talking about with the Single Wives Club, you know, give us a call at 917-932-1078. That's 917-932-1078. All right.
And we got one person in the queue, right?
You said we got one person in the queue?
I think we got Michelle holding in the queue.
Oh, yeah, Michelle is definitely, man, I'm telling you, that's one of our guests tonight.
That's the guest.
Michelle A. Robinson. Oh, yeah, Michelle A. Robinson.
Hold on, let me call everybody. I didn't know Michelle was on, man. Hold on, I got to stop the press right now.
While you talking, Michelle is powerful, man, and some of the stuff we're going to hit her with and the insight she's going to give us is going to be nice. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, as well as Priscilla. You know, our guest, I'm telling you, you definitely want to stay tuned. But before we get into our guest, though, Sonny, I want to talk about some things, man. You know, I had to go down to New Orleans, and, you know, we talked about the way it's going now with our next generation and our kids and the boys and entrepreneurship and just the leaders that we have to have now. And not to say that women can't be leaders, but I think we need men in some of those power positions. And it was unfortunate, man, that one of the young ladies that worked with me at my office in New Orleans, her daughter goes to Xavier. And it was crazy because they did freshman enrollment at Xavier, and it was 75% females and 25% males. And I'm like, wow. Mm. Bruh, what do we have to do for our next generation of males to step up?
Well, I like to know the numbers in the past, though. You know what I'm saying? I want to know how far off are we with that. You know, because I don't ever think it was half and half.
I don't think it was 50-50 like that, though.
Right. Well, I'm saying, that's what I like to know, because you're saying 25-75, so let's say at one point it might have been 60-40 or 65-35 or something like that. So, I can't really say, because, you know, I don't know. I hadn't studied those numbers. I like to know the real numbers. I can't say if it's, you know, like that across the board, and it's been like that. You know, I know, when I was in school, you should have probably had the same thing at Southern. I know at Jackson State, man, it was always, it seemed like it was 75% women than men.
I think you just noticed 75% women. That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was. We
okay.
just noticed the 75% women, but I don't think I think it may not have been equal, but I don't
right.
think that gap was that big, man. And then
right.
the unfortunate thing about that, when we're only enrolling 25% of our males into college now, you know,
well,
and the percentage that's graduating is crazy. So now you're talking about a small percentage that enroll, and even a smaller percentage that actually graduate. You know, we coming out, man, we in bad shape.
Here's the problem, man, the cost of college now is too expensive. They need to bring the cost down, because now you got student loan companies that will give loans to kids who bad credit, no credit, you know, give you a $20,000 a year loan a year. You come out of college, 80 to 100 grand in debt already with the interest piling on. It's a lot of people are saying, man, it's not worth me going into debt like that, you know, because you got people out here on the streets with college degrees who can't even get jobs. So now I'm going to go to school for 4 years, spend 80 grand on a loan, come out with debt, you know, and interest piling on as soon as I get out, and trying to find me a job that's going to pay over 50 grand is difficult. So, you know, a lot of people are looking at that saying, wait a minute, you know, this is not really adding up. You know what? And it's a lot of kids, too, are going to junior colleges, and they're going to little schools in that same area that's very affordable, and they're saying, just let me get a degree. Whatever kind of, it doesn't have to be as you know, somebody would think like a brand. It doesn't have to be a fancy school now, a well-known school. It's if they're doing it. You know what I'm saying? Because, you look at what's going on now. You got parents even trying to keep their kids from going to certain places because it's going to put you in a hole almost for the rest of your life, because the student loan is the only thing you can't bankrupt. I mean, you can bankrupt
yeah.
credit card debt. You can bankrupt everything except student loan. So
yeah,
I think that's the challenge. You know, if you're looking at why a lot of them are not doing it, I think when you start looking at the cost of it and the family has to take care of it, because most of them are not getting any scholarships, that's difficult. You know what I'm saying? I would really like to know. I guess I need to Google, go out on the search engine and Google that and see, you know, how bad is enrollment down, and if it is it because the cost of college going up so high? You know.
Yeah, well, I hope that is the case for our young men, man, that they are going
mm-hmm.
to junior colleges and, you know, some of these community colleges and things
right.
like that. Because, you know, if it don't and we continue to see numbers like that, we're going to be in trouble as far as our leaders. And the reason why that's going to make a difference, man, because when you have situations like Michael Brown, you know, Trayvon Martin, you know, and the thing is that when we have these marches and people to step up front to try to stop these things that are going on, it's only going to be really respected by African-American leaders. And when I say
mm-hmm.
respected, meaning when we do these marches, if we got females marching, we got non-African-American people marching, you know, people who we're trying to march against, they're not going to respect that. You know,
right.
and no disrespect to ladies, but once again, that's just basically how, because most of the time when we have these marches, it's usually against the white male or white America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't really, as far as being a threat, you know, in any kind of way, physically, you know, anything like that, though, they don't see the female, the black female, as being that threat. So they'll never stop doing the things that they're doing, you know, and so we have to have our young men step up and be leaders. And unfortunately, like I said, you don't have to have a college degree to be a leader, but it typically, you know, gets you in doors that you wouldn't normally get into initially, you know, when you're educated,
right.
when you have these things, when you can make a force or be a force in the community. And so that's why it's important, man, and that's why, you know, we got to see it. Like I said, they're not going to these traditional colleges. We got to make sure that they stay in the loop some kind of way. And that's why, you know, once again, I'm passionate about the kids, and I'm trying to go in that direction, because we need our young men to step up. We need our young men to be leaders. We need them to be entrepreneurs, you know. And so, you know, I just thought that was just kind of you know, wow. When I was blown away when she told me that, you know, and the unfortunate thing is out of that 25%, once again, you know, we know the graduation rate is horrible right,
right
now.
Right.
You know, among African Americans. So you're talking about 25% enrolling, you know, how
many
are going to graduate?
Yeah, and to me that's even worse because most of them are going in on some kind of loan because, you know, they're setting up on campus and they even have people thinking they're getting grants when it's actually a loan. So let's say you go to school for 2 years, you didn't borrow $40,000, and then you quit. Oh, you're not hiding from the loan companies. By the time they catch you, that interest is up to $100,000, and that thing is and it's growing. You know, that's what I say. It should be illegal to allow them to come on those campuses and allow these people to. But see, it's big business now. Schools are big business, so. That kid, they wouldn't let walk in the bank and get an unsecured loan like that, like they're getting for school, because they know that they might get away without paying that back. But a student loan, you're going to pay that back before you die. If not, somebody in the family going to pay it. You know what I'm saying?
Somebody going to inherit it.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to lock that in, which is really insane.
That's almost like I told my dad. I said, "Yeah, you don't have to leave me you don't have to leave me no money or leave me no assets. Just don't leave me no debt."
No.
You know, that's what student loan gonna be. You can get rid of
exactly.
Everything, but that student loan gonna be passed down to your children.
We'll leave that with you.
All right,
Uncle Fred's right, degree.
Yeah, but I just wanted to get that out because that I just mm-hmm. kind of blown away by that. And if y'all have any questions, comments on that, you know, please weigh in. You know, give us a call at 617-932-1078 and press number one to get in. Because we would love to hear you if you got somebody in that situation. All right, man, so moving on. Before we get into our guests again, just wanted to talk about, I was reading some stuff and it said, 3 unconventional tips with building a startup business, you know, and the one thing that we have to do nowadays, and which we know don't work, is the traditional way of starting business.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to think out of the box. So one of the things they said was you actually have to have a story. And I know you're a speaker, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I hear you speak, and a lot of times when we talk, a story, when you start in your business and you're talking to people, have a story. Have something
mm-hmm.
that's going to engage them. You know, have something.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. You know, one of the sayings that we always use is facts tell, but stories sell. You know, you're gonna have to create a story because people remember stories. Stories are you know, a visual thing in a person's mind. And so, if you can paint a picture and tell a story, a person can. And you know, and not only that, it's emotional. You know, a person can feel you with your story. And oh, without a doubt, you should always have your story together, especially when you're going out to if you're going to pitch something to get some money for a company or to start a company.
All right, and the second thing they talk about is perception is reality, and they even use the term "fake it till you make it." And I say that I say that all the time as well, and not in a bad sense, but perception is reality. To where when you starting your business, don't talk down on your business. Don't say, "Oh, well, you know, I just got my little business going." And talk about your business as if it's a Fortune 500 company, you know. And
mm-hmm.
that's how you basically get your business to move to the next level. And I always tell the story when I first started. I started in the basement of my home, you know, well, the bedroom of my home. But I would give you direction as if you was coming to Peachtree.
Right.
And then they would call. People would call and say, "Well, Brian, I took a turn, but I'm in the subdivision." I said, "Well, yeah, right there, the fifth house on the right." You know, but I would never basically let you know, you know, that you was coming to a home office. I would treat my office the same way I would any other type of business. You know, if it was a storefront or whatever, and I would talk to you the same way. I would give you direction, and I would get you there. You know, and perception is reality in the sense that if you talk down on your business, you make people think that you're inferior. That's how they're going to start to perceive. You know, so when you're starting up, make sure that you basically sell your business as a big business. All right, and the third thing is basically, really, most startup businesses, and this is crazy, they talked about, don't need as much startup capital, if any, that they believe. Because if your methodology and your idea is precise, and you have enough, you know, basically confident structure in what you do, you can sell people into start doing business with you to get your business going. You know, and it's a lot of truth to that. I know a lot of people don't believe that because we've been sold now that I got to have money, I got to have money, I got to sell this money. But it goes back to number two, because if perception is reality and I make you believe that I'm better than I am, you will do business with me. And as I produce, you're going to start giving me my money and showing other people, I mean, giving me your money for doing business with you, and you're going to show other people that I do great business. And from there, my business is going to start growing, and it's going to grow without loans. You know, I've built a multi-million-dollar business, in a sense, without no startup capital. You know, and so I'm proof of that. You know, but you've got to believe in your idea, your concept, and your methodology of the way you proceed to that point.
Right. Let's clarify now. You're saying, make sure they understand, not a lot of money, but you do need some money, because I don't want people to think, wait a minute, I don't need any money. No, you need a little. You need something, you know, to get you going so you can breathe a little bit. But,
yeah,
you know,
you do need something, you know, but once again, don't say you can't get it because you can't do no marketing, you can't do this. Yeah, you can
still. I was about to say, you could do that. That's
yeah.
Yeah. You can go from there. It's almost like, you know, my partner used to always say when he was getting ready to get his house, he was, man, just let me get in the house. And once I get in, I'm in there now, so it'll be hard to get me out of it.
Yeah, I'll find a way.
Yeah, this is like a business. Let me get in this business and get it started. I keep it going.
All right, y'all. So, you know, I just wanted to get that out and get y'all a few little tidbits on that. We're going to go to a short commercial break. And then after the break, we are going to be back with Priscilla, the Cameroon princess. And she's going to give you a story because, you know, everybody finds some uniqueness in what they do. And I love the concept behind what she does with her accessories. So, you know, make sure that y'all stay tuned because we got Priscilla coming on with her great story.
Pick up your copy of Running with Blinders, the Top 17 Mistakes of Small Businesses, written by author Brian Joubert, who has over 20 years of experience in business consulting. Running with Blinders is a full resource guide that will motivate, educate, and inspire everyone who reads this book. Filled with expert advice to avoid pitfalls, this book is a must-have for everyone who really wants to be successful. On sale now for only $12.95. Visit lbtaxservice.com. Purchase your copy of Running with Blinders, the Top 17 Mistakes of Small Businesses, and get started creating long-term business success.
Looking for the right business opportunity? Need the right product, the right marketing plan, and the absolute best training in the world? Well, look no further. The Elite Team. Every leader in time excels. They believe the key ingredients in becoming successful in life and in business are just a keystroke away. Go to www.eliteteamsite.com. That's www.eliteteamsite.com. The Elite Team has a system in place that will move you closer to achieving your goals and dreams. Visit www.eliteteamsite.com or TonyFlemingEnterprises.com today.
All right, y'all. We're back. You know, and if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Basement to the Boardroom with your host, Mr. Brian Joubert and Mr. Tony Fleming. Hey, you can get this every Tuesday at 8:30. You know, just some insights, some dialect, just information. That's what we do here. That's what we do on B2B. And make sure that you friend us on Facebook. You know, Brian Joubert. I'm just typing my name. I'll pop up. I'm not the French fader that's going to come up sometime. So, you know, don't put me out there. And we got Mr. Tony Fleming. So go out and friend us on Facebook. All right, y'all. You know, this is one of my favorite parts of the show. I love bringing guests on. I love people talking about what they do, how they got there, you know, and because everybody has a unique thing about them. You know, so I'm excited about this. So, you know, without no further ado, let's bring my friend, business owner, Miss Priscilla, and a.k.a. the Cameroon Princess.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Tony.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing, ma'am?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Hey, so that's what they call you when you go back home, the Cameroon Princess?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear you.
I said that's what they call you, the Cameroon Princess?
Actually, in Cameroon, everybody calls me Mommy Tom's, which is the name of my brand.
I like those. Okay. All right, well, tell us a little bit about who is Priscilla.
Priscilla, well, I'm originally from Cameroon, which is a country in Central Africa. And that's where I was born. And from the village where I am from in Cameroon, I just happen to come from the royal family, which makes me a princess, which is on my dad's side. And on my mom's side, my great-grandmother, out of about 200 people she could have chosen from, she chose me to be her successor. So when I came here into the U.S., I got my education. I graduated from the University of Maryland. And when I decided to start my fashion brand, I decided to use the name Mommy Tons as the name of my brand because it's actually the nickname that was given to me in the memory of my great-grandmother.
Okay. That's your legacy right there, though. Legacies, you know, that's what we miss in these days is having those legacies and to influence our grandparents. One of the things I wanted to ask you, we're just doing a little research on you. All right, you mentioned something about in your bio about the U.S. being full of opportunities. And
mm-hmm.
One of the things I want to ask you is that something with you not being U.S. born, do you see that individuals come from other places and you see the opportunity and that's why you capitalize, you know, nowadays more than probably U.S. born people because of what you've seen and what you've been through in other countries, and we're probably not as rich as those countries. So that's where the hunger comes from?
Pretty much, yes. Coming from Africa, you know, especially, usually in Africa, most people are poor. And then in Cameroon, more than 90% of the people, they are poor, you know. And all these people, you know, that have money, that are rich, they represent less than 10% of the population. And, I didn't really come from a poor, poor family, but coming into the United States, you know, it's like you can go. I mean, I went to high school. I finished my high school here. I went to the university. And because I graduated from high school with honor, I was able to get all kind of scholarships to go through school. So I actually have enough scholarship to pay for college, to pay for my apartment, and to actually purchase a car. So in Cameroon, you can never have that. So to me, I was really grateful, you know, for the opportunity, and so that's what I meant when I say it's a country full of opportunity. And even when I was school, I was always working. I had internship, so I was always able to. And even when I graduated in 2010, the economy wasn't that great, but I was able to find a full time job. And it was a pretty good job, you know, compared to what most of my friends were doing. So I definitely think this country, when you do what you're supposed to do, you know, it definitely has a lot of opportunities.
And so, like I said, just coming from those other environments in Africa and not being as rich as the U.S., do you think that gives you that extra drive to see because you
yes.
don't want to see those opportunities?
Yes, definitely, because, I mean, in Cameroon, I've seen a lot of things in Cameroon, and when you come here, you know, I mean, some people say the United States is not great, it's not what it used to be, they complain about things, but me, coming from Africa, I really don't have anything to complain about, because whatever is happening here is definitely better than whatever is going on there. So to me, it's an opportunity, and I definitely think that, you know, it's definitely it really makes me, you know, gives me the hunger, you know, to do better.
Yeah, and I just thought that was interesting because we did a show probably a few months ago, and Tony, I don't know if you remember that show when we talked about how immigrants now are probably the number one business owners, and people from other countries now are really are the new entrepreneurs in the U.S. now. And I knew it had to be some type of correlation between, you know, countries that have a little bit less in the U.S., and it has to be an hunger or appreciation of something, because I just can't understand that why we can't have the same drive. So it was interesting to kind of hear you talk about it as well. You know, and so, but I'm glad that you did take advantage of the situation.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about your business, because you have something that's very unique in a sense, and I see a lot of people now have accessory businesses and create handbags and, you know, and doing those things. That's one of the top fields right now that people are getting into. But you have something very unique in which the way yours is produced. So talk about that a little bit to the audience.
Right. Right now I have a line of handbag, and I recently launched a line of sandals and a line of accessories such as wallets, document holder. And everything is made in Cameroon by poor artisans that I am trying to help. And it's also made with raffia, which is a leaf that comes from palm trees that grow naturally in the forest of Cameroon. So that was a niche that I was able to to tap into, because everybody now is talking about global warming. They're talking about protecting the environment. They're talking about making purchasing decision, you know, that I can make a difference. So I was definitely able to tap into that market, and I started about 3 years ago. It really wasn't easy. It really wasn't easy to start. And I definitely need, I mean, I heard you talking about sometimes you don't need a lot of capital. I actually needed a lot of capital because everything was made overseas and shipping, it's not easy. And then you have U.S. Customs, you have to pay tariff and do, but anyways, so it really wasn't easy at the beginning, but I didn't give up. And right now it's actually just starting to picking up right at the moment as we speak.
And that's what I was going to say, because you do use the environmental, you know, approach and conscious of that, plus your things are made in another country, how does that affect you, basically your bottom line from a cost standpoint? You know, that has to be a lot more, you know, I guess strenuous from a cost standpoint. And does that affect your sales with clients?
Actually, it definitely did, because it was made overseas and it comes from palm trees, and then the artisan actually have to go to the forest to get the palm trees. But at the beginning, I was really struggling because my prices were high compared to the competition, and I really had to do a lot of explaining and then a lot of people didn't even know what raffia was in the first place. So I had to do a lot of explaining, and a lot of time people, they were too price sensitive and they didn't understand. So it took a lot of trials and errors, you know, to feel it, to really, really found the right, you know, the right market for me, the right people to market to. And I lost a lot of money, you know, trying to figure it out. But recently I went to my first big trade show last week in New York, and I had buyers, and a lot of them, they really love my stuff, and I got orders. I mean, I have like a lot of orders for next spring, so this is actually really good for me, and I have a lot of leads that I'm actually following up on, so which is really great, because now my products are going to be in stores, so that's really great.
Yeah, and that was definitely one of the things I wanted to ask you, who was your targeted market, because like you said, individuals are price sensitive, and we've always known that. And right now, with me not being in an industry, I would think that people don't care that it's environmentally safe and, you know, it's natural and all of those things, because they're price sensitive. So who do you target when you're trying to sell something that's environmentally safe, when you're talking about handbags and wallets and sandals?
Right. Well, typically, I mean, anybody really could be a customer, but it's mostly women that are 30 and up that usually care about the environment, or especially moms. Moms really care about you know, everything eco-friendly, because they have kids now and they try to be really cautious about the things that they do. So I really found that, you know, women that are 30 years old and older, especially the one that I mom, really, really care for these kind of niche products. And also women that have been exposed to similar products, and you know, they appreciate it even more. Maybe they have a friend from, I don't know, Africa, or family member that has been to Africa and talked about Africa a lot. So some people, they can see the product, they can relate to it, and then they just purchase it. But typically, it's just any women, you know, that are 30 and above. But then, depending on each situation and what they have, you know, the kind of experience they have had, you know, they will make the decision. Most of them, you know, are not going to make the decision to purchase my products at a higher price. But you have these few people that will, and those are my customers.
Okay, all right. Well, that's you know what, you got it. Because once you identify who your targeted market is in business, then your business goes, you know, successful a lot faster. And I think a lot of times we make the mistake of thinking that everybody's our customer. And you can't think that everybody's your customer, because everybody's money is not going to be the same. So if you've got something of quality, and I think it's a great lesson that you're giving our audience tonight, you know, we're telling them about identifying your targeted market, because that's very important. Because if not, we're gonna
right.
be scrambling. Yeah, we'll be scrambling all over the place, wondering why we're not getting sales when we
right.
know we got a hot. Yeah,
exactly. In my case, actually, what I did is I actually went to places. I actually went to places where people who care about these kind of products will go. You know, such as a flea market in certain places in the Washington D.C. area. You know, so I will go to that place knowing that the people walking in, this is the kind of stuff that they like. So I kind of did it a different way, because I was going to the places where people will go there would appreciate and love the kind of products that I have. So even the trade show that I went to in New York, this is a trade show, you know, specifically for this kind of product. So all the buyers coming in, they were coming specifically looking for products like mine. Whereas before, I was just going places hoping that people would love my stuff. So I kind of did it different ways, but it still works, I guess.
All right. So before we let you go, let us know what you have coming
mm-hmm.
up, if there's any more trade shows, and where could people purchase your product?
Oh, okay. Actually, my next trade show is actually January 31st of 2015, the same trade show I went to New York now. And anybody interested in my products, they can go on my website, www.mamicons.com, you know, to see if they like something and make a purchase.
Okay. And give them that website again, and can they find you on social media as well and everywhere else? So give them anything that they need to know.
Sure. So the website again is www.mamitons.com, which is mamitons.com. And I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, under Mamitons, MAMITONS. Twitter at Mamitons, Pinterest, Mamitons. So they can definitely find me there, follow me, like my page. If you have any question about anything that I've seen, you need advice, you can definitely shoot me an email via my website.
Spell it again.
All right,
for Facebook. You say M-A-M-I.
T-O-N-S.com.
Okay. Gotcha. Delaware. Is that
well,
you?
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.
No, we
right.
thank you for coming on, and we definitely look forward to doing some things with you in the future. So,
great. Thank
success,
you. Bye.
Great job,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk to you later. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, y'all. Like I said, we're going to give you inspiration. We're going to give you motivation. We're going to give you what you need to be successful. All we need you to do is take action. Take notes and take action. We're going to take another short commercial break, and we're going to be back with Ms. Michelle A. Robinson. I mean, you know, y'all definitely want to say something because this is phenomenal.
Do you have tax issues, owe back taxes, or need tax relief? Contact L&B Tax Service today. L&B offers you over 15 years of expertise and first-class tax service for individuals, professionals, and business owners. With nationwide service, you can easily find a location near you. Contact one of our tax professionals through our website, lbtaxservice.com. That's www.lbtaxservice.com. L&B Tax Service Incorporated. Tax professionals that you can trust.
The second annual Single Wives Weekend will return to Atlanta October 17th through 19th to connect like-minded ladies, create powerful partnerships, and inspire women to live happy, healthy, and wealthy lives. This ultimate Women's Empowerment Weekend features 3 full days of exciting events, including seduction school, a dating workshop, a business conference and luncheon, the Big Hat Brunch, and so much more. Our powerful workshops with award-winning speakers will prepare you for the life and love that you truly deserve and give you a chance to find out what men are really thinking. This year's Single Wives Weekend is poised to be bigger and better than ever, bringing together women from around the country to get the conversation going and get the party started. Event extras include red carpet pictures, our personalized selfie station, complimentary cocktails, decadent desserts, and Single Wives Night Out. Check out host hotel information and purchase your weekend pass today at thesinglewivesclub.com. Not only is this an amazing weekend for women, it's also a dynamic branding opportunity for small business owners. Get your products and services in the hands of our guests by becoming a sponsor or vendor. For details, contact us today by emailing info@thesinglewivesclub.com.
All right, y'all. That's that groove music right there. I know y'all bopping with me. I know y'all bopping.
I'm over here singing.
Yeah. Well, I know you get it in, though. I just know the music. I don't know who the artist is. I know you be knowing that stuff, man.
I know all of it.
Hey, like I said, if y'all got trivia going on, make sure y'all reach out to Mr. Tony Fleming to get y'all questions answered about music and movies and stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
You know, so basically he learned a lot of that stuff when he was in school since he didn't study and watch TV all day, listen to music, you know. So, you know, some of us was in class, so.
Okay.
All right, y'all. Like I said, we're back. And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Basement to the Boardroom on the Survival Radio Network, the network that you cannot live without. And before we get into our next guest, I just want to actually mention our business of the week. Definitely is Dr. Joy Fremont Dentist Office. It's my dentist, you know, and you definitely want to make sure you support. So go to survivalradionetwork.us, look on our site, and get all of the information. You know, phenomenal business, phenomenal dentist, as well as they got an event coming up, a 5K walk, which I'm actually one of the team in the 5K walk. So go to thefremontfoundation.com. to register under my team, which is the Rich Walk Crew, you know, and it's for a great cause. It's for scholarships for individuals going into college their freshman year. So, you know, make sure you support the cause. All right, y'all. Look, I'm excited about bringing this young lady on. I mean, you know, she got a wealth of knowledge. you know, situation. I mean, you can learn so much, you know, and so we are honored and pleasured to have on B2B Miss Michelle A. Roberts.
Hello.
Hey, ma'am. How are you?
Hi. I'm also fabulous and amazing. How are you?
Well, I guess I'm all of them too, you know, but I never thought about it like that, so thank you. Hey, before I even get into who Michelle A. Roberts is, I want to touch on your four things of greatness that you talk about when you open up your page, the things that you are, and I just want you to elaborate on each of them. So we're going to go into the first thing, author. So let us know a little bit about your book and what's going on in you as an author.
Okay. The name of my book is Affirmations for Success. And it is a published work about my favorite affirmations. I believe that whatever you say, you can change your universe. You can change your world. Just like the Word of God, you know, if you keep on saying those things and you continually say them, they become a part of you. So over the years, along with the Word of God, I just began to latch on to affirmations, positive statements that I can just affirm and say. Such as, like, when you asked me how I was doing, I told you I'm awesome, fabulous, and amazing. That's one of my sayings that I say all the time. And even when I meet somebody, and if they're not feeling that way, by the time they leave from my presence, they are feeling that way.
All right, very good. That's what I was talking about. All right, the second thing is speaker. You know, what makes you a different speaker? You know, everybody want to claim that they're a speaker now. What makes you unique in your speaker? How do you connect?
One of the things that I think I connect with my audience about is just my story. You know, everyone has a story. And as a woman that was married for over 17 years, in the last 10 years of that marriage, my ex-husband was strung out on crack cocaine, therefore leading me the charge of raising our three children as a single parent. And I had to leave that. I left that marriage. By the time I did leave it, I was like over 268 pounds. And my self-esteem was low, and I wasn't quite making the money that I'm making now. So it was just a lot of things going on. But through the power of the Word of God, through changing my mindset and different things that I did, I was able to overcome being over 268 pounds. And I also change my income as a result of changing my mind and my mindset. And I am an encourager. I encourage other women that they can do the same thing. Because God is not a respecter of persons. So what he's done for me, he can do for somebody else. However, you do need to put practical application towards anything you do. I mean, you can believe God all day, but if you put a resume out there or get out there and network, you know, I don't know if he's going to get that job or not. You see what I'm saying? So that makes the difference. I mean, I connect with my audience. The ones that are, I believe, that are supposed to be connected with me connect with my story.
All right. And I hope none of our audience know your husband and didn't know he was on crack cocaine, because you sure put it out there.
Well, anybody who's read my bio knows it, because it's in the book. And, you know, I'm not ashamed of it.
Nah,
I didn't call his name. However, he's not on drugs at this moment, though. That's just him.
And I say that jokingly, but what I love about that is that you're very transparent with what you do, which makes a great speaker, great author. You know, and every component of what you're doing, it's much easier to relate and connect, because when you're transparent, people can feel it, see it, you know, and they can gravitate toward it.
Amen. I agree.
All right. So the next one is entrepreneur.
Yes. One of my favorite topics. I am a business owner, Roberts Travel Services. I've been owning my travel service about 3 years now. Also, Michelle A. Roberts Enterprises. That's my author, speaker, publisher line. So, you know, I believe everybody has a story or a book in them, and everybody has a business that they should pursue, because I believe in multiple streams of income. You know, he didn't just give us. Some people, you know, he's given one or two talents. But most of us have several different things inside of us. And whether you're selling Mary Kay insurance or, you know, being a tax professional, you need to find something to put your hands to do to bring in additional streams of income.
And I don't think that's preached enough, you know. And I think the multiple streams of income thing, because it's a difference with having multiple streams of income and being all over the place.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is a difference.
Some people just all over the place. Nothing that they do connects. They give in 20% to five things, you know, which it ain't going to happen. So, you know, that's very important that you said that. And, you know, and we have somewhat of a reluctance sometimes to do it because we think people don't think we're doing too much. But I tell people, nobody criticized Steve Harvey. Nobody criticized Puffy. You know, and all of them have multiple business, Jay-Z and, you know, all of these different people that's multimillionaires, and they do it all day. So it's definitely something that's done, but it ain't preached as much. So I'm glad that you did put that out there, and people need to really take heed to that.
And then as a wise woman, the Word of God taught, you know, a Proverbs 31 woman, she had multiple businesses, you know. So, you know, she had multiple things, multiple gifts, multiple talents. So you just need to put those talents to work for you. If you're a poetry writer, put pen to paper, publish those things, you know. Make a income from those gifts and talents. You have to dig deep sometimes, and sometimes it's just things that are a part of your makeup that you can begin to pursue. Just like the lady from that just spoke before me, you know, she went back to her hometown, and now she's pursuing, you know, her jewelry and her fashion design.
Yeah, you got to live your dream. You got to live your passion. You know, and I love the fact that you talk about that, living your passion. But before we get into that, the last thing is, and I love this one, a challenge conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is a challenge conqueror?
That is a person that when she gets lemons, she makes lemonade.
All right. All
of us have challenges and different things that we, you know, everybody's story is different. And one of the challenges, like I said before, for me was getting out of that bad marriage and pursuing my education and increasing my income and raising my children as a single parent. But I did have help, thank the Lord, my mom and my sisters. I had a great tribe of people. And then just people just praying and, you know, but God, you know, use that circumstance to make me the woman that I am today and so that I can help somebody out there, whoever's listening now. You know, sometimes you get into and you're faced with different tragedies or different circumstances and you think you're the only one that's going through. But all of us have gone through something. But it's not just going through it, it's overcoming. So that's why I say I'm a challenge conqueror because, you know, challenges have come and I have conquered them. I have slayed them like a dragon.
Wow, and that's what I love about this show. Between you and the previous guests, like I said, one of the reasons why we love this show is because it gives the audience the opportunity to listen to people who've been through what they're going through to let you know that you're not alone. And people before you have done it already, so it was great to hear you say that, and it was great to hear Priscilla say some of the same things to let people know. You know, you didn't invent these problems. You didn't invent these challenges. They've been here before you, and there's people like yourself that already conquered them. You know, and so it can be done.
Absolutely.
That's like I said, I love your story. I love how you overcame it. You know, and the thing is, I love how you know your work is not done.
Absolutely.
But Even with some of your topics, I think are very powerful and relevant in some of the things you talk about. And I want you to try to elaborate on this a little bit. One of the things that you talk about is the power is in your mouth.
Absolutely. You know, we need to change our mindset and what we say. We put things out there. Have you been around like the negative people? You know, somebody's always saying nothing good happens to them. And when they put that out there and you look at them, you're like, hey, nothing good happens to Sally. So both of y'all now are in agreement because she said it and you see her and it's happening. But then you've seen other people who who act like, you know, the heavens are open. They're saying, oh, God, the heavens are open for me. Or even if something does bad happen, they're like, oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm moving on. You know, that was just a setback, but I'm coming back, you know. So the power of our words are very, very important. It frames our world. It starts our day. It can change. You know, just speaking life into somebody's situation when they're discouraged, you could possibly keep that person from committing suicide or something. Or, you know, you're having a bad day and somebody just comes to you and say, you know, Michelle, you're an encourager. That those words alone, even if I was having a bad day, it's gotten better just because of those words. So the power of our words are extremely, extremely important. And, you know, we become what we say. We become what we say. One of the reasons why I like the affirmations for success is because an affirmation is an affirming statement. It's something that you say over and over, and, you know, you keep it simple, but you say it until you become it, until you believe it. You know, some people say, you know, fake it before you make it, but I don't believe in faking it. But I say, you know, say things that resonate with you, you know, to change your situation. If you believe in God for money, you know, say I'm a money magnet. Money comes to me in various, you know, sources, various resources, you know, known and unknown places. You know, begin to look for, begin to act better, you know. If you're, you know, believing, you know, you're in school, you know, I have the mind of Christ, you know, I have wisdom, I have power, I'm an overcomer. You know, even when you're faced with challenges, you need to put the right things out there in the atmosphere.
All right, and I won't see you stealing my words you just said. I'm a money magnet. That's my stuff that I'm about to start marketing. So you know.
All right. Well, that's so one. That's one. First. That's in my book.
I had it. Yeah, I had it first, and I'll cut you in because you believe in it too. So you know.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan. Y'all heard him now. Y'all heard him say he's gonna cut me in now.
Oh, because I'm pretty sure you're gonna give me so much more information, affirmation that's basically gonna be beneficial to the both of us. So well, let's roll with it.
Absolutely.
This one, I'm kind of curious to hear myself, and
mm-hmm.
is why you have such a pretty face is not a compliment.
Yes, you know, especially when I was heavier, you know, people would come up to me and they'd say, "Oh, you have such a pretty face," like all the rest of me was ugly, you know, or bad. You know, that is not a compliment. You know, if you want to tell somebody that they're beautiful, just tell them that they're beautiful. Don't say, "Oh, you have such a pretty face." You know, what are you saying about the character of that person? It's so much more than just the outside as well. Even when I meet people now, you know, some people just look on. You know, I know that, you know, especially men, some of you guys are quite visual, and there's nothing wrong with that because women are as well. However, you know, it's more to me. It's more to that book. You know, you need to read the pages. Open it up, you know. Don't just take the outside and you know, not know the person, not know the real person inside.
All right, so before we let you give your information where everybody can reach you, where they can connect with you, where they can buy your book, where they can hear you speak, all those things, one last one, if you can get it in quickly,
mm-hmm.
single mothers, single moms are winners.
Absolutely. You know, just because you are a single mother, that does not mean that your child is not going to be one of the best children around. It's not. It doesn't mean because he doesn't have that father figure that they're going to, you know, not succeed. I had a tribe of people, like I told you, for my mother and my sisters, you know, my church family. You know, they all rallied behind me, and we made it. We are making it every single day. You know, I have two in college. All three of them have gone to college. My oldest son is now working, and I still have two daughters that are in college. And, you know, it wasn't always easy, and they didn't always understand everything, but we made it, and we're still making it. So, single mothers, you are a winner, and you can make it. You know, with plenty of times, one of the reasons I discovered multiple streams of income is because I looked at my children. I didn't want them to suffer or not be able to experience different things in life. So they really motivated me to become the woman that I am today.
All right, very good. That, I mean, that's excellent stuff. If y'all didn't get no power out of that, then I don't know what else we can do for you. Let everybody know where they can reach you, how they can, like I said, get in touch with you, buy your book, and all of those things.
You can reach me at MichelleARoberts.com. That's my website if you want a signed copy of the book. The book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. I am on Facebook at Michelle A. Roberts, I-N-C. I'm on Twitter at DivaMichelle44. I'm on LinkedIn, just everywhere, Pinterest, Roberts Travel Services. If you're interested in the travel, some travel services, I'm at www.robertstourismservices.com. You can also send me an email at MichelleARoberts@gmail.com.
All right. Well, once again, Ms. Roberts, we truly appreciate you being a guest on B2B, but not only that, but giving this great information, great insight, affirmations for our listeners as well as ourselves. You know, we definitely look forward to doing some big things with you in the future. So, you know, let's make sure that we stay connected, have all your people reach out to us, friend us on Facebook, and we're going to do this again soon. So thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me, and many blessings to you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
All right, y'all. Well, once again, like I said, we, you know, that's crazy how fast that hour passed by, but it's been beautiful. We appreciate all the new listeners, everybody. You know, make sure that you connect with us on Facebook, and we'll look forward to doing it again next Tuesday. So remember, you know, we are one. So good night. All right, see you in the morning.
Right.